Hello again, and welcome to Chew the Fat for 18th of June 2021. My name is Russell Alford.
And my name is Patrick Hanlon.
And what a show we have for you this week. Firstly, of course, we're going to be kicking off with lots of very interesting things from the world of food and drink here in Ireland. But also, we have two great interviews. Towards the latter end of the show, the far end of the show, we have a beautiful package for you from Galway. We are meeting a brilliant cheese producer, Teresa Roach, and it's a great, great listen. We also are revealing something very, very exciting from the team at Alta. We'll be talking to previous guest on Chew the Fat, Niall Davidson, who you can listen back to at your own pleasure at some point if you so wish. But Patrick, it's a busy week.
Time for the...
We still haven't given it. It's just going to be called
it's
the
called
notice board.
The Chew the Fat notice board.
It's very, very simple. It's just the Chew the Fat notice board.
Here we go.
With Pride being celebrated this month around the world, plus the Dublin Pride Virtual Parade taking place on the 26th, many establishments across the city and country are creating and sharing some colourful and beautiful products, donating to the very deserving LGBTQ plus charities in the meantime too. For example, sisters Karen and Natalie Keane of Bean and Goose in County Wexford have partnered with the George Bar in Dublin to create the cleverly titled LGBTQ plus bar. I love it because it's like a gay
it's
bar.
It's so simple.
It's so inclusive. I love it. The profits are going to Outhouse, a safe community centre for LGBTQ plus people in Dublin's Capel Street, and they are available to order direct from their website as well as from the George itself and selected other retailers for €15. More info plus their full range of their stunning chocolate products is available at beanandgoose.ie.
Graham Hurtrich, aka the Cupcake Bloke in Rialto, is once again using Pride season to raise money for Belong To. The What's the Tea is a tropical twist to the traditional brack, packed full of fruit like papaya, goji berries, as well as citrus, coconut, and pumpkin seeds too. Even more delicious is the fact that 50 cent from each sale is going towards the youth charity, so it's a really, really worthy cause. A series of special cupcakes are also available, representing the diversity, history, and legacy of the LGBT plus movement over the years. You can find more details on at the Cupcake Bloke on Instagram or pop in store on the South Circular Road. There are, of course, many doing exactly these kinds of activities throughout the coming weeks, and we will of course share them out on our social media as the week goes on. However, just a gentle reminder, since many companies are banking off their Pride credentials this year, and we as two gay men are very much part of that conversation, if you are a business and plan on a Pride special, we urge you to do more than just stick a Pride flag on something or change your avatar on socials. Support vocally, donate generously to one of the many, many charities in the community. Spotlight queer voices, makers, creatives, leaders. Be an ally by following through intentions or with behaviours rather than just being a flag carrier. It's up to us to tell you that Pride is a protest and a demand to be seen, heard, understood and accepted as equals across the LGBTQ plus spectrum. And Pride is still necessary and important in 2021.
And sadly, very much the case after seeing some of the things going on at Panty Bar in Dublin and of course in Waterford too. But without this news section going a bit like a recently launched British news channel where we give opinions, let's continue with the news. In County Sligo, they benefit greatly from a brand new opening from the team behind Nook. The restaurant and cafe called Nodder opened this week in Coolanney, and they have limited outdoor seating, currently split down the middle with half reservations and the other half for walk-ins due to a huge amount of queries. This is worth taking note if you're taking a little break around the northwest coast this summer, and of course Sligo was always delicious, beautiful and fantastic,
especially
to go
in
to
the sunshine.
Absolutely.
Over in Dublin, Design Town in the Liberties has a brand new sweet addition. Ciao Cannoli. Kieran and Federico, the duo who many of you will know as the guys behind Catch Events and who we are lucky to call our very cherished friends, have painted their Citroen van bright pink and are selling 7 different flavours of the stunning tube-shaped fried and filled Italian pastries. From classic to an espresso martini flavour, of course, quarantine memories, there is something for everyone. Downtown is open 7 days a week at the Ivy Market on Francis Street and also features Ethiopian cuisine from Gersha, pizza pies from Serious Dough, and the OG in the location, the Sambo Ambo.
And finally, we couldn't go another week without mentioning gin, could we? A brand new gin has launched this week on the market from Bowen Distillery here in the beautiful Boyne Valley. Silk's gin follows after the family-run distillery scooped Best New Spirit at the World Whiskey Awards just 3 months ago, so it has serious pedigree behind it, and that's carried through in the nod to horse racing and jockey Silks in the branding and name, inspired by the nearby famous Bellewstown Racecourse in County Meath. It's a beautiful gin. Actually, I have a bottle right in front of us as we record this, which has 14 botanicals, including Irish apple blossom, honey, and foraged elderflower. It's actually the bees from the family farm that pollinate their expansive orchard that planted the seed for this gin several years ago. So we're delighted to see Sally Ann Cooney's vision come to life with this beautiful, brand new premium gin on the market. Silk's gin is available to buy directly from the Bowen website at the moment for $39.95, as well as the collection of beautiful whiskies under the Whistler label, which are always worth stocking up on. You can visit Bowen Distillery, that's B-O-A-N-N distillery.ie to order yours, and as always, please drink responsibly. And don't forget, if you do have a story, offer, event, or opening from the world of Irish food, please email us at hiya@gastrogaze.com before next Thursday, and we will do our level best to keep you in this weekly roundup.
One other major bit of news that's been breaking in the detail, but has been teased for weeks, comes from the team behind popular wine bar and destination restaurant Alta on Dublin's Setanta Place. After feeding thousands of homes throughout the pandemic with the incredibly popular Alta Box, the team, Hugh Higgins, Kevin Burke and Niall Davidson, have been teasing on social recently about an Alta summer house, but set outside the capital. Well, with more on this and to reveal full details, Niall joins us on the line. Hello, Niall.
How's it going?
Not too bad. You have some very exciting news, don't you?
I do. We have been working pretty hard. We've kind of kept ourselves off the radar for the last 3 weeks. And we have had our head down working hard to create, hopefully, very amazing dining experience on the banks of the Boyne at Slane Castle.
Wow. How had you chosen the iconic Slane Castle to open an experience at, I guess?
So it kind of came about when we were first thinking about opening up Alta. Me and Hugh thought it'd be a great idea to do a summer house, and it's ultimately just taking your restaurant and putting it somewhere, you know what I mean, for a couple of months. And after COVID, after everything that the whole kind of restaurant industry's gone through, not even the restaurant industry, people have gone through, we just really wanted to have a bit of fun this summer, if I'm honest. And I know Alex Slane, I've known for 5 years. I called him up. I was like, Alex, it's a bit of a mad idea. How about we build a fully functional 50-seat restaurant bar, install a big kitchen, and just do something pretty out there that might be too out there, but hopefully should be quite fun. And he said yes.
Happy days.
In fairness, knowing Alex, like, he probably was like, that is the greatest idea I've ever heard, and I'm absolutely on board with it. So you probably asked the perfect person in that particular incident.
Yeah. I And if I'm honest, we kind of like, we started about 3 weeks ago properly planning it. It's been a whirlwind 3 weeks.
Mm.
We, pretty hard, it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, because, but we built the summer house. We have got our grills from, like, we're cooking, like, it's not going to be, it's going to have all these fossil vaulted, but it's not going to be altar food that you would technically associate with what we do here in Dublin. We are basing our whole menu around ultra local Boyne Valley ingredients and really good Irish seafood from Union Hall, cooked over the fire. That's kind of it in a nutshell. You know what I mean? So, and our whole setup is designed and installed by Toby Hatchett, and including the sound system. It's pretty beautiful, if I do say so myself, even more so when I'm down there and I see it. It's going to have loads of big fire pits. You're right on the river. It's going to have a big open kitchen, big all cooked over fire. And just we just want to do, ultimately, a refined experience, but is also big, ballsy flavors that you're eating with your friends. A place to just reconnect with those people, to have that birthday that's 6 months late. You know what I mean? The kind of like, so we only have 9 tables. The tables for 6. So our bookings are only going to be between 4 and 6 people. Mm-hmm. We really want people to just, it's a place to come with friends, if I'm honest, friends and family. We just did the last tasting of our menu there, and I couldn't be happier.
The concept of this idea of limiting it to 4, 5, or 6, it's not the only kind of unique aspect to it, because it's not a traditional, hi, can I have the bill, please? This is a ticketed event, like it, pretty much everything at Slane really should be.
Well, if I'm honest, yes, because it kind of has to be, if I'm honest. We're building a big, like, firstly about where it's going, it's the 40 years of Slane Festival this year.
Mm.
Slane Festival hasn't been on last year, hasn't been on this year. We are lucky enough to put our summer house in the artist hospitality area of Slane Festival. And that field has had David Bowie, it's had Oasis, it's had Metallica, it's had Bob Dylan, it's had Thin Lizzy this summer 40 years ago, hang out in that field. So we kind of are super pumped to be part of that, for one. And then also, it's an experience. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like, we want it to be a day out. There's enough space in there for you to come and hang out there before and after your reservation at the bar. We want people, we're partnering up with Rock Farm for accommodation for their yurts, and we're going to have a small amount of rooms available at the castle. And we're also partnering up with VIP taxis, where if you're coming out from Dublin, you want to have some fun, you can get there and back super easy.
Oh, wow.
It is a ticket event, and like, it kind of needs to be, if I'm honest, because when you're booking your table, you know what I mean? It's like, there's 9 tables. We're only going to be offering 15 of them available a night, and it's a 2.5, I mean, you'll have 2.5 hours on your table. So I just want it to be really, I want to have fun. I want to cook good food. I want to create energy. I want to just do something big and bold that says a bit of a fuck you to the last year and a half.
Mm.
And do that within the parameters of using as many Boyne Valley ingredients, and do something potentially that I've never really seen before, if I'm honest. So
you're more than welcome to talk more about the great Boyne Valley products, because that kind of takes a bit of the work away from us to do that.
Yeah. Well, if I'm honest, I've been blown away by them.
Why?
Like, that's it in a nutshell. It's so close to Dublin. Like, we were very lucky to be toured around by 2 very good food bloggers. I don't know if you know them.
Who are they? Who are they? I couldn't. Yes, of course.
Boyne Valley Bay.
Of course, we were in on the secret the whole time. but it was, of course, for us, it was very much a privilege, because when you were telling us about this, we had a feeling over the last couple of weeks that this was going to be happening. And it was the thing of when you approached us to, you know, basically say, we need to see the people and the producers from this area. It was like, thank you for not just basically coming along being like, hi, I'm Alta and I'm coming down to the Boyne Valley and just doing your thing.
Like, like, if I'm honest, like, I always think that, like, we've been building it this week and it's now starting to come together. We've still got another solid 5 days of build to do. But, like, when it comes to eating, when you start cooking, it's like, how you eat and where you eat needs to be a representation of how you cook as well, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And, like, we decided to cook over fire. It's something that we mm-hmm. want to do. We've got a beautiful Gosney wood oven coming in from Southampton. Reece Allen is making our grills in London. We managed to get them through customs, which was a bit of a nightmare about the joys of Brexit, but we got there. We're cooking over single origin charcoal and apple wood.
Oh, beautiful.
From cider mill, you know what I mean? So, and then with the Boiling Valley ingredients, like, we had a day out. Our full team came, which is very important for me to take these opportunities to really just see, understand. And I was blown away. It was one of the best producer trips I've ever been on, and that our team has ever been on. See that, like, diversity of amazing world class products in such a small area in Ireland, and to see so many different approaches to agriculture, to farming, to producing food, whether it be fermentation, biodynamic practices, ciders, honeys, black garlics, water, you know what I mean, like heritage potato varieties, water wheel, bloody mills. It was just amazing. So it's now our job, in a nutshell, to make sure that those producers come and eat most and have a great fucking time, but also our menu represents that. And our menu and our experience represents that in bucket loads.
And very much like Alta, it's going to be a changing menu as well, depending on what's happening and what's seasonal.
Yeah, our menu is going to be like 10, 12 courses to share dishes. It's not really courses. It's going to start with three raw dishes, then go into, so when I say raw, it's going to be, we're going to start with a really nice summer broth that's going to be filtered through all the wild herbs that are there at the table, and that's just more a palate cleanser to get you going. We're always, no matter what we do, we're always going to have Cremon oysters on from Kerry because they're the best in Ireland, but that's just us. We're going to have a few krills and lovely tartare there from the Dexters at Rock Farm with buckwheat. Then we're going to go a bit more into like starters, but still cooked over fire. We're making our own halloumi cheese, Jersey, from Woodtown, Jersey. They farm on the Boyne. We make it in-house and we grill it, and it's absolutely outrageous. Oh. We're making that. We've got a lovely squid dish. We've got a flatbread. The flatbread's super exciting, actually, because the Bond cheese, Michael Finnegan, world-class. I can't believe I haven't tried it until now. World-class. So we're doing a flatbread with buttermilk meal flour, a little bit of wholemeal in there to our dough, Michael Finnegan's goat cheese, and we are using a little bit of the black garlic from Drum and Heart.
Wow.
And then that's the kind of start of procession. They're all to share. That might come in over an hour. Bottles of wine down, cocktails on, skins going, thumbs out. And then we're going to, once that goes, main courses is going to be, everybody's going to get a whole grilled turbot. Like, ooh. It's just, like, why not? We have our fish cages. We have beautiful wild turbot from Union Hall that's banging season this time of year. And we're going to serve that with a gooseberry, fermented gooseberry and sea lettuce sauce. And our protein is going to be pork. It's going to be, we're trying our best to source as much breed-specific, free-range, beautiful, outdoor-reared pork from the Boyne Valley. And we're going to do that with a nice fermented pepper sauce, which has got a little bit of a little bit smoky. And then the sides of that are just going to be a showcase of what's good in Irish vegetable growing. And then desserts, we're going to go on like a nice brioche. Really tea is like a laminated brioche, mm-hmm. cooked milk ice cream, but honey and goat's broth.
Oh my
God. I'm in heaven.
God,
already.
I am so hungry.
And is this permanent or is it only a pop-up?
It's a pop-up. You know what I mean?
So unfortunately, it has an end point.
It has an end game. Oh. It has an end point. You know what I mean? But like, all good things must come to an end, and this is definitely one of them. Yeah, it's a bit. I just like, me and Shree, like, we chat about it. We were like, at Alta, we've done the boxes. We really don't have capacity to do much of an outdoor dining to keep all our staff at jobs, if I'm honest.
Mm.
Our restaurant's quite small. The social distancing and time slots, it's hard to make it work financially. We thought, let's park Alta in Dublin till the first week in August. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's push on with it. with his summer house, there might be a bit of time where they overlap in August, where summer house is coming to an end and also is reopening. You know what I mean? But summer house is here to stay. It's our interpretation of Irish food cooked over fire. You know what I mean? And we're partnering with Le Cabo for the wine list. Just excited about that. And we are, and we have got Gillian has just started working with Alex Slane, and Gillian is by far one of the best bartenders in the world. We're working with her on our cocktail offering. Cocktail offering is going to be a non-alcoholic offering as well. Big thing for me. It's going to be based around many of the wild forage floral species in the Boyne Valley along the river. So we've got meadowsweet coming in season. Mm-hmm. We've got pineapple weed everywhere. We've got elderflower everywhere. We've got some bitters from a few different things. We've got, of course, slain whiskey. We're going to do a slain whiskey punch. A little bit of porking. So just like, and then on the music side, we've got Toby Hatchett, who is from Cork, an amazing craftsman. He was stupid enough to agree to do this with me. I probably hasn't slept in the last 4 weeks, because like, but and he also is going to curate the music. And then the one last thing, which is a big, big part of this for me as well, that field is, it's one of the most wild, beautiful organic grass meadows in Ireland with native trees. So we're partnering with a company called Native Events, mm-hmm. to make sure this event has zero impact on the environment. You know what I mean? Has zero waste. Has, we're using, instead of using generators, we're trying to tap into like local electrical. So, you know, just like these things like that, that like in this day and age, you need to have fun, but you need to do it responsibly.
Mm. Super so, stuff. It is opening up for the first time on Saturday the 26th, isn't that correct?
Saturday, so we're just launching 2 weeks of tickets to begin with. Just we thought we'd, it's just because we're just getting going, we'll launch the 2 weekends, we'll see how they go, you know what I mean, make sure everything's good. And once we're happy with the first night and that, it's just like not really from that perspective. But just with licensing and stuff like that, we need to get, there's all this back of house permissions that you've got to do to bring 100 people down to a field.
I can only imagine.
You're kind of understanding it there by calling it just a field. But anyway, it is the grounds of Slane Castle.
It's very beautiful. But like, so we're going to be launching every 2 weeks throughout summer. We might push it to 4 weeks. We want to be there in August. And we're going to be there until the weather's good. The tent is not really a tent. It's a big semi-permanent structure. It's all heated. It's got lovely lighting. It's got a big installation by Patsy of wild flowers in the roof. Kitchen's all on show. Bar's on show. It's open on 2.5 sides, so it's a very COVID secure place. And that was a big thing for me. I wanted groups of people to come back out dining, but also feel that they're secure in doing so. We tried to keep it as open as possible to airflow, but still keep it as cozy as possible as well. Okay. And also tell you, the weather we've had this last few weeks has been amazing. The worst thing we want to do is put a box in there. We want to be able, the sun shining in, you want to have your Sunday lunch down there and like by the river in here. So I'm super happy about what the guys have built. There's a lovely forest walk down from the Slane car park. There, we're going to put a buggy on, a few buggies, just in case there's older people coming in. It's only a 5-minute walk. Mm. It's beautiful, but you know yourself. And just don't wear high heels.
Expert advice.
There. I'm really actually annoyed that you said that last thing, because you've ruined my entire outfit for our visit there.
I'm watching you. No high heels.
I'll poke you in the eye with stiletto. Just watch. Niall Davison, best of luck with the Alta Summer House, and thank you so much for reappearing on Chew the Fat with us and giving us some more details about this.
Thank you for living in such a beautiful part of the world and opening our eyes to it. And it's so close to Dublin. I lived, like, one thing I would say, like, I lived in London for years. If you go anywhere for an hour, you're still in concrete. You know what I mean? You're still in the city. Door to door from Dublin, you're in Spain in 40 minutes, and you're just in a different world. So we're really excited about it. The whole team's super pumped about it. I want our customers to come to it, but I'd love to see loads of Boyne Valley faces there too, new faces, and like love to see them and join us too. You know what I mean?
It's I can guarantee it.
Niall, thank you so much. Take care.
No worries. See ya.
And if you would like to make a booking for the Alta Summer House, and we think Niall really comfortably sold it in spades there with that menu, you can visit altasummerhouse.ie. That's A-L-L-T-A summerhouse.ie. Tickets cost €95 per person, and more details are on the website regarding accommodation and transport in the area too. And we're very looking forward to welcoming you here to the Boyne Valley at some point for some delicious food this summer.
Now, before we started this current series of Chew the Fat, we mentioned we had a few episodes recorded out in the field ready to be broadcast. And you can listen back to the very first episode of this current series, Series 5 of Chew the Fat, to learn a little bit more about why we chose to hold them back and ride out the long wave of a pandemic before bringing them to you. Now we want to share one we have been dying to bring since the very day we recorded it, almost exactly 18 months ago.
A new kid on the cheese block, by all accounts, Teresa Roach, has been quietly producing one of the finest cheeses to be created in Ireland in years under her Kylemore Farmhouse cheese brand. It's an Alpine-style hard-cooked cheese, so think of the likes of French Comté or Swiss Gruyere, except switch the Alps for East Galway, and you've got it. Based just outside Loughrea, Teresa is a former nurse from a family farm and returned home from years abroad and set about totally switching up her career and devoting all her time to her own herd of Holstein Friesians and creating and aging her stunning cheese.
Though this chat took place in January 2020, it's as fascinating now as it was back then. And Kylemore Farmhouse is truly an incredible example of a contemporary Irish cheese from a traditional and humble Irish family.
My name is Teresa Roach. I'm from the producer of Kylemore Farmhouse cheese here in East Galway. And I'm delighted to have you guys here on the farm.
And we are so delighted to be here.
Have you been out to Abbeyway before? Never.
Never.
Welcome to the East Galway, as they say. Yeah.
Haven't ever.
Actually, no, not really East Galway. And this evening we're only going to Lignum.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, I'm delighted when you said that. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've heard great things about
it. I know. It's super to have it so close to us because this side of Galway's never been promoted as a food destination or anything that's kind of, you know, it was always Connemara and city.
Yeah.
And it's been a bit of a pull now since Galway Gastronomy to try and make us kind of put us on the map again and put a few of us in perspective.
That's it.
And there's now about 5 or 6 of us in this area that have kind of started up. So
brilliant.
At least we're all kind of pushing for each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, come in and I'll show you around.
Ah, lovely.
Now, there is, you can see muck spreading going on.
That's
grand. A lovely whiff out
it's
of here.
It's a lovely smell. It's a smell of the Irish countryside.
Oh, exactly. And lots of shoes to come with.
Exactly.
The white shoes.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
We're flying in and out here. And
this is typical, and I think we've started many, many episodes going, I'm not dressed appropriately. I never am.
Never am.
It's so exciting to have you here, but don't worry.
Delighted.
Oh, Jeannie, I'm delighted you're here too. You might have came through the village of Abbey. I don't know.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You did?
Yeah.
We're a small village.
Yes.
Very tiny population. Oh, I don't know how many now, but oh God, maybe 150 people.
Wow.
200, two teachers. Oh God, I could be lying. Teacher school, but it's a small school.
Yeah.
So there's a Franciscan Friar Monastery there coming in. That's older than the Rock of Cashel, actually.
Oh wow!
And should we come up and talk? I'll tell you. And that's where the history comes from in general of the friary, and that's where Abbey comes from. And you're in Kylemore now. So there's two Kylemore Abbeys.
Yes, there is.
Yes,
I'm learning now.
Yes.
So this is Kylemore House that you know, and it's been here since the 1800s, early 1800s was built. Good. And then the out stone sheds here were built, you know, they're saying this house here was built in, they guess, in about 1820. Mm. The outer sheds are listed buildings as well, and they're about 1800, so they're 20 years earlier. And this is known as, it has been for centuries known as you know, Kylemore House, mm-hmm. in the village of Kylemore Abbey, but yeah. East Galway.
And not be confused with actual Kylemore Abbey.
But but the nuns know, and for Kylemore Abbey exactly. are well aware, because our post would go for 100 years to Kylemore Abbey.
Yeah.
And it's always, they have the most beautiful castle and scenery in Connemara, but and we're known here because the abbey is the Franciscan friary, and that's where the abbey came from.
Okay.
And there was loads of Kylemores because it means big wood.
Yeah.
As you know, and then so that's where the Kylemore and Abbey came from, but just on the east side of Galway.
But they don't have cheese. That's the important thing.
My God. Oh, I know.
Sparkling clean.
So this is kind of like a makeshift visitor center. Okay. We use it for multi purposes. We use it for everything from cheese education down to visitor center. We have a running course for 2 days with Paul Thomas and the Organics National Trust. Mm-hmm. So we have a Wi-Fi, we have projectors, and we can seat about 15 to 20 at least, and then we have groups up to 40 then. Farmers, an awful lot of interest in educating farmers and women in agriculture and diversity in farming. There's a big interest in the culture change in farming for the future. So we do a lot with that, and loads of just suppose women looking for or women looking to add some value if they're in a farm as well. So that's been a big kind of stepping stone for us in the last year and a half. And then I put the window in as a visual centre to give people the idea to look in. Introduction. So people get the whole visual aspect of seeing and producing, and they get the, you know, the concept of farm to gate, you know, because you can see the grass out here, and then you have the farm and the production, and then the maturing room is here to the right. So I'll take you in there in a few minutes and have a look.
Who is an artist?
Oh, jeepers.
It's all arty.
Is it? Oh, God.
Elements in here, yeah.
Well, it's obviously an awful lot of work has to be done here yet, because I built, this is actually sheep shed.
Okay.
So my parents were in sheep for 25 years, and then we got out of sheep production, and I was idle here for 7 years, and it turned into, you know, everything, the tractors and the machinery parts and the turf shed, and God knows what you could find.
Christmas trees and all sorts.
And it was a junkyard when I came from being abroad home, and then I was like, oh, my God, this place. So over 6 months, we cleaned it out. And in that idea, I had a cheese manufacturing in my head, but we thought it'd only be half of this size. So it's 60 foot long, 40 wide. And it's a fairly big shed. So all we did, we put in everything secondhand, as you can see, secondhand windows, secondhand panels on the roof. I bought all the equipment secondhand, and I just tried to get going. And we got going within a year, within 9 months, we were 10 months, we were up in production. Which was a huge task, but we put probably in total a good year of trying to figure it out. It's a lot of work trying to also to be Borbia approved, and Department of Agriculture needs to recognize what you're doing and to be certified. So, and there was a lot to learn, because we were not in business of cheese, like we didn't have food production, only that I'm a nurse, and I suppose idea with the manufacturing was to keep it open plan. So, and I spoke to a lot of cheese experts too, who gave me the advice that was reasonable and that it works efficiently, and they had evidence to prove that. So I went with what they were saying, and I went and we got going. Yeah. The idea was to show you the farm, and then come back through this.
Yeah.
So then you get the stepping stone of farm to gate, I suppose, if you like.
Sounds great. Perfect.
We had baby calves being born.
Oh, wow.
Cows. So this is our milking parlour, and it was built in 1963, so it's been around a long time. It's just had an extension put out the back there. We milk 8 a side, and we're milking about 100 cows. Pedigree Holstein British Friesian herd. So we've been pedigree, and we don't buy in any stock. It's a closed herd and disease-free, which is really important to know about where your milk comes from.
Yeah.
And so for the last 35 years, we've been pedigree and we don't buy stock in. But milking for 55 years, so a long time.
God.
So 1963, this is where the cows used to stand, and they tied them up with the chain.
Yes.
So it's not your modern, it's a traditional milking parlour.
Mm.
But it works functional. We've got all the other high-tech bits, but it's in an older setting.
Yeah.
And then this is where the milk is stored. So the milk will cross here when the cows are milking.
Oh, yeah.
Come through these pipes. And then there, it's stored in here below 5 degrees.
Okay, it's a massive. How many liters? Maybe
7,000 liters. So about 2.5 days, every 2 days, the milkman would come in and pump it out. And then put in here, then it's where the cheese production starts as well. So on this side here, we have a whole water system. We were painting in here last week. So we have a hot water, cold water. We have air vacuum that pumps. It's actually just air that slowly pushes the milk directly through to the cheese house. And in the cheese maturing, in the cheese manufacturing room, you'll see another pump system where we just disconnect and pump into the vat. So it just means it's a one internal system where it comes straight from the cow at blood temperature, and we can pump it into the cheese vat. So we don't need to cool and reheat back up. Because once you, you know, it's just wasting energy, better for the environment, better for your quality of cheese as well, if you're going in at blood temperature at 37. It's about 33 by the time it gets across. But it's more efficient for us as well when labour, we're not pulling and dragging big buckets and you're getting it across in, you know, in 1,000 liters in about 20 minutes.
Wow. Super fast.
Do you sell milk out and then keep some for the cheese, or is it all for cheese?
We do. We sell out of here. We Arabon is our co-op in Nina. And we also supply a local cheesemaker, Killeen Farmhouse Cheese, a renowned lady, Marion Rulevant.
Award-winning.
Award-winning. Yes. She's only 3 miles down the road, 5 kilometers. Yeah. She's excellent. She's been a great mentor and a great support as a neighbour and as a friend. And to the family here, we supply her for 15, 16 years now with milk. So when she started out, we've been with her.
Fantastic.
So, and she's a goat farmer as well. That's a renowned, that's what their number one business is, their goat's cheese. And then she's been also making, and she makes a Gouda, and she makes fabulous hard cheeses, but, or she makes Gouda, and that's her thing. And then she uses our cow's milk for her. For her cow's cheeses,
Have you ever created a shapes cheese?
No. Not me, no. I suppose I'm new enough into cheese manufacturing. Mm-hmm. 3 years only, and we've probably stuck with the one type of product at the moment. And I suppose the idea was to make one type of product and be very good at it, rather than make a lot of them and half mediocre. And try be as... try make out of that one product, age it at different stages, so you can really have three products in one if you do it right. And we're still learning, we're still trying to get things right. So
how many years have you been at this now?
2017 was our conversion period with the sheep shed into the cheese manufacturing, and then we got in a small amount of we did 2016 and 2017 we did trial productions in, and then I went to the School of Arts and School of Foods in England. I went with Paul Thomas, learned how to make cheese there. We did some with Moor Park cheese course. We did a little with I went to Switzerland and Austria and Germany and went across Europe to try and find kind of unique products. And then Neil's Yard Dairy have been mentors, the Bronwyn Percival and Owen Wilson. And both of them have been good to me, as in giving me tips on how to be better at what you do in the background. So they're kind of in the background, and I've great support with Sheridan's and you know, local Galway, you know, and Lignum, as you know, who you're going to tonight. Been great, and we've had great support of like hotels and restaurants in Galway. You know, we've had the King's Head there, you know, buying in our cheese and using it as our main product and across all their boards and across all their dishes. So I suppose there's great restaurants and shops, and, you know, you've got McCambridge's there who really believe in local producers. And that kind of thing, it's really taken off well in Galway. And then outside of Galway, we're building our identity. And we're lucky enough to do some food demos with Kenny Maguire demos. And we do that with them as well, and that's been great. Very like, because you build a little bit of an identity on the road, and we're going on the road, as we say, we do our little road trips. And that's been great. And Rachel Allen, and we've been kind of lucky that I've had good people giving you a little bit, and Euro Talks have been good to me. They brought me along the last 2 years, even as a startup, and I've been great support of Ashford Castle,
who've been really kind to me, and they've had my product for the last year, even when I was a small business, starting out small, and they've been backing me for as a small producer. Right. And we are now working with them doing unique food experiences, which they're going to start out starting in January here, at the end of January. That's what we do in small groups, unique experiences. Brilliant. So again, that's a big thing taking off in Ireland, as you know.
Huge. Great to see it too, though, especially as you were saying earlier to us about the bringing more people around East Galway.
Yeah.
It's great to have an experience being tailor-made around this area.
Yeah, very much so. And we've come up with Galway County Council supporting us in the Department of Agriculture. We've come up with Discover Galway Food Experiences, and we have a website, and we have our own videos individually done, and also as a group of a collection. And we're now marketing that as with Galway County Council support. We're just trying to get it out there with tour groups and tour agents to try and showcase what we do produce here.
So in here, milk and parlour, we pump the milk across, and then the cows at the moment are inside, as you know, because they're having babies.
Yeah.
And we keep them in until about February, but we only make cheese in the summer months, April to October, when they're grass fed. So this was our little baby was born around lunchtime today.
No way!
Yeah, she's only born there. And this lady was born at 11 o'clock last night. And the rest now, I'll bring you in, show them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So this is, she's one of our, you know, mature ladies. Mature mum would have had about 6 or 7 babies in her lifetime. She's had a baby girl. We love our baby girls here, yeah. She's a pedigree Friesian Holstein cow, and we keep all our females, and they go directly then they come directly back in through the herd. As we said, we don't buy stock in, so it's only mother and daughters, and that's the way they cycle through. So the stock is all homebred, so that's a kind of a key component to your
any sons.
So boys, yes. So we keep our boys up here. We have our boys here.
Oh, look at them.
And we do private sales at home here, and we don't go to Mars, but they're private sales from the farm.
Yeah.
And neighbours and other farmers would come here if they lost an animal and needed a calf to go on their cow for sucklers.
Yeah.
Or some would rear them as beef, but they would keep them up to 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
They all get fed by bottle twice a day. I should bring in a bottle and show you. Do you want to feed them for a minute? Have you fed a baby calf?
Never, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait there now.
Well,
they get fed probably up to about 3 litres.
Oh, yeah.
So they usually start at about 2 to 3 every morning and evening. Twice a day, they get about 2 to 3 litres.
Yeah.
And they're in the first few... The first 20 minutes of being born, they're fed their own mother's colostrum. So important. And liquid gold, as they say, and so important. And like they latch on just like this automatically. They love their milk, and it's all their mother's milk. Now, there you go.
Oh, the power!
Oh my God, now.
Okay. Oh, dear. Oh, wow. Oh, they're strong. And so how old is this?
2 days. Just yesterday born.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. They lick everything. That's it.
Oh, my God. Oh, up like that, yeah.
And then the ear won't go in. Perfect. So they get fed twice a day and just milk for the first 10 days. And then they're after that... They love it, yeah, and they're getting fresh hay. And
they like me with wine.
They love it. They're so excited. What? Oh my God, they'll lick you now. Mind your beautiful clothes. I don't want to be dirty going to lick them now.
I think they'll understand.
How large is your whole herd?
Yeah, so as you can, well, we're milking about 100 cows, and that's our maximum capacity.
Okay.
And we have, that's including our heifers there's about 30 heifers there coming in, but we would also, you lose about 10-15% of your herd with with replacements, so the cows don't go in calf, or you get rid of them as age, or
you know, they might come down with, you know, for different reasons, viruses or an illness. So, yeah, but generally 10 to 15% of your herd, you generally wouldn't get in calf. So you have to put in replacement heifers then. And that's where these heifers up there that you saw would replace them. And we sell a small amount this year of our in-calf heifers there, so to another farmer. But this is our own platform of land here, and it's my father obviously does all the management of the grass, so you know, fertilizer right now is so important after the 15th of January they were spreading, and it's excellent for the rejuvenation of the grass and for our grass production for the cheese making. So this is where the cycle starts, you know, from the babies being born to the slurry being put out in the grass, as you can see, and then there'll be manure put out then in early spring, and this is getting ready then for the cows going to grass in April. So they'll be going out in daytime from the end of February onwards, and then at night probably from April on, March, April, once the weather improves. So it does take a few weeks to build that up. And but they will be fed grass and silage up until that period, and just until it runs out and the weather improves, until the temperature of the ground temperature gets higher, so we'd have some growth. So there is a lot of work going on even when we're not in full milking production. So it's all thinking ahead, planning ahead. And then for the cheese, it's, you know, very important to have good grass. So that's where the high quality milk comes from, and good pedigree breeding of your cows along with good grass management gives you good quality milk. I think if you have them components right, you'll have a good balance of a product. So I suppose that's where the cycle would start. So you're seeing the full wheel.
And so because you only do the cheese really summertime then, in that case.
So when the cows are in grass from April to October is when we can the cows are in grass even from the end of February, which you could, but it does, we like to give them, you know, after cows have calved, you like to give them a few weeks to settle down. Just for the butter, fat and protein to balance out. And then we're kind of into the, then we're kind of ready for the season then from the middle of April onwards. And we get the cycle going.
And I guess then in terms of the ultimate product of flavour, summer milk, and we know this from when we visited Jura for Comté. And it's the same type of idea. There is a huge stark difference between winter milk and summer milk. And even I know, like, the likes of Glen Stahl, their butters are the same, that it's like summer milk written on it well.
So it is good.
Is that kind of thing? So obviously, and it all depends on what they're eating.
And what we feed them is our own silage, as you saw, and there's a little bit of straw there for fibre for roughage, and the only extra they get is the concentrate nut that they when they come into milk, and that's all they get. And I think, like you said, their diet is so important. And the type of cow you're breeding. You know, I know we stuck with British Friesian hog sign, but that's what we prefer. But, you know, the type of cow that's robust, we breed for their yield and for the quality of the animal. So that they can sustain in your herd for a long period. So that they'll have good quality calves, they're robust animals, or strengthen them. And then the cows, when they are calving, that they're able to get through the pregnancy, and there'll be you know, a cow there that will be successful milker for the for us. We're happy with the type of cow, but it's taken my parents you know, 35 years to build that up. It didn't happen overnight.
It's all experience. Essentially.
Exactly. You, like, you know, for me now, if I was to start up in their capacity, it would take me a long time.
The whole you don't lick it up off the ground type of thing.
It just takes a long time. And you know, everyone makes mistakes along the way, and they have, you know, I suppose they're into a bit of biodiversity. They do a bit of forestry as well on the side and just off the farm. But they have their own trees, and we have bees here as well, my own honey. And we have, I suppose you are aware of your environment. Farmers are aware of the, aware of
you know, I suppose animal health is really important. And I think, you know, farmers do put a lot of work into caring for their animals and knowing, and you know, where food comes from, trying to, I think it's important to educate farmers. So on the other side of food, where your food, where their milk is going and how they can add value back into their farms. I think that's the next step for the future of farmers. Not all can do it, but I think some, there's another, like the European countries that are doing difference in adding value at home. So as I said, the visitor centre, it's still in progress, and we're going to put up more pictures and story and tell how the production cycle would start. That's this spring, I'll have it ready. So the steps to cheese making.
Lovely.
And I kind of wanted that it's an area that you can show the old and the new of the village and the community, and just a bit about what we've done to date and a bit about the farm, and then with the cheese tasting and maybe a little display unit in the corner. So it's just, you know, money's tight, you kind of start off and it goes out the way into something else. So see, I lived away for 14-15 years.
Whereabouts?
So I was abroad for I trained as a nurse in the UK and I went to Australia, New Zealand and America, but I trained and worked as an intensive care nurse, and so I was abroad and I only came back then in 2015-16. So I was only meant to be home for a holiday, and so as you do, you come back to this. But I
and they say no, you're staying.
No idea. I had never intended on not even the blinkiest idea that I would have been here. I would have laughed at someone if they told me you would be home. I wouldn't know. No intention. But different things happened in my life, and I suppose I got to that point where I made a decision, and I obviously changed careers, and I thought there was an option of adding value back into the farm. And we were actually at a crucial point where we were producing milk, we were doing like what we're doing now. Winters were long, nights were long, cows were calving, weather was poor, milk price was poor, and we're milking for a long time. And the price of milk was, you know, heartbreaking. So even though it was better than other years, I thought if we didn't try and do something different, maybe we wouldn't be here in 5-10 years. So it was sort of a crucial point, I thought, in the family farm to try and do something else and to see if it would work now, because there was no, there's no guarantees in anything, but we give it a go and we're still learning. But it was just for us that we thought it was a time to go for it. So that's why I stepped back from nursing to try and help out here a bit more and to see could we get the cheese making off the ground. So has Galway changed? Of course it has, and for the better, I think. Culturally, it's great to see so many diverse communities living in Galway, and so many cultures living together with openness, and I think it's bouncy, it's happy. Tradition is live and well, artistic, musically, the Irish language, and the food is growing.
It's like ultimately the food at the end.
Only in the only in the last sort of, I presume, 5-10 years, it was a different county. It was known, like, you know, we were social people for more for the social aspects rather than known for food. And it's great to see great chefs coming out to Galway, and we have great Jess Murphy there in Kai, who's a great advocate, and we have JP Mahan, and we have lots of Ardbeas, and you know, it's at the King's Head, and we've got great cultural counties, even in other cultures coming in, setting up great restaurants, Italians and Basilico and Orne Moore is another fine place that grows our vegetables, and so there's great places out there. And Lignum, who also came here in the summer to see what we were doing, and they made cheese here in the farm, and we're now maturing their cheese for them on site.
Wonderful.
So they know where the milk comes from, their cheese is being made, and they made it themselves. So that's
special. Special.
That's
very special.
So come through. That's sort of where we're at. This is the production room.
Can I go in?
We could have a bath. If you come back in the summer, we could have a whey bath for you.
Fine.
Oh my
have
God.
You seen that in Delves? That's another big thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You come back in the summer. Come down to Galway for a weekend, and I'll set it up out in the field there for you. And a glass of champagne.
Oh, nothing like it.
And a slice of cheese.
And a slice of cheese, exactly.
Only one slice.
So, but this is a cheese vat, as you know. We heat it through the sides and up through the bottom. And then we pasteurise inside the vat. So it's fat pasteurisation. All open plan. Cheese.
cheese press my brother made. Wow. He's an engineer, and so instead of importing, we made it here on he's his own business on the corner just at the bottom of the road there.
Okay.
So he's a steel engineer, and they have an agricultural business there, and it's doing well. So luckily enough, they had the skills to make it in Ireland, because they're all imported otherwise. Yeah. The brining tanks where you put the cheese in.
Yeah.
So on average, it takes me about 8 to 10 hours in cheese making time. Mm. By the time we pasteurize, heat, cool, put it into the molds, we press in the vat and put it on the press here.
Mm.
So these are the molds that we use underneath. It presses the whey out and it forms a shape.
Yeah.
Then they come in here for 2 days, okay. Salted and turned for two days. Mm. And then to come into the maturing room. And they sit here for 7 to 10. Sorry, now I've got water.
Oh, you're grand.
Here.
You're grand.
Just building up the humidity. But it's normally, this is a cheese maturing room, and I was going to try and wash the floor up, but I didn't get it done. So that's what that's going on. But basically, our maturing room here, we hold about 5 tons of cheese we make here last summer, just 2018. We made it just under 5 tons in 2018 and just over 5 tons for 2019. Yeah, there's a fair bit of work going into this. This is a 45-foot container that we do use as our maturing room.
Mm.
As I said, it was about getting going. It's about getting... If I waited too long, I might have reversed out of the idea of making cheese, so I just had to get going. And we're learning. It's a Swiss mountain recipe, as we talked about.
Mm, yeah.
It's an Alpine hard cheese. This cheese is 6 months old, what we have today. It's a natural rind. They're all handmade, hand washed, hand turned, so everything's edible from the inside out.
Yeah.
And it's all about you know, your environment that surrounds you, your milk, your cows. We talked about the grass, and all of that influences your flavor.
Yes.
And it's meant to be a mild, sweet, nutty texture cheese. Okay. And the idea of it is that the aging process gives it a bit more strength. But it's usually a very palatable cheese. I suppose that would suit the Irish community.
Because I think cheese is something that's only had a bit of a renaissance in this country. Obviously, we've had it being made for many, many years, especially down in County Cork. You have the Malines cheese in particular, and Myrtle Allen, of course, was so instrumental in a lot of it, and Gobeen and everything. But now we're starting to see, especially because of the likes of Sheridan's in particular, who are really promoting it and becoming more, I don't like using the word mainstream, but because...
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll say it themselves, I'm sure. Yeah. It's mainstream. And
also available.
And available and accessible, and that's more important.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see the likes of yourself doing great things with it.
And it's craft. Yeah. It's like handcraft.
That's right. It is handcraft, and it's farm to gate, it's traceability, it's sustainability. It's adding value, and it's about educating people. Where does your food come from?
Mm.
And of course, we do need the likes of Sheridan's to promote the farmhouse cheeses, Irish farmhouse cheeses in particular. Especially. And it's to get the public to understand about what does farmhouse mean. Farmhouse means it starts and finishes on that farm.
Mm.
That it's, you know, it's milk from your own farm.
Yeah.
And you know, artisan is a different word, but it is in particular a farmhouse is unique.
And what is quite amazing is from the milking parlor to here, it's feet.
It's
so little distance away.
We employ 2 part-timers and myself.
Okay.
But in the summer months we could have, you know, 3 people at least. To 4 people between the tours as well, because we do the farm tours, you definitely need more staff around then. So we are very, very busy in summer, but it's where we're at the moment. But 2 part-timers over that week and myself, we can kind of keep going, but it's very busy. Yeah, 7 days a week, and it's definitely 6 months of full production, we produce 3 to 4 days a week. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we don't put it at 7, but you're still constantly at other stuff in the area.
The cows don't know what a weekend is.
Or you.
Trying to have a social life too. It's so
important. How far are you aging your cheeses?
So we mature a minimum of sour to 6 months and up to 18 months.
18, okay.
So I'll show you the older cheeses.
Mm.
So the youngest cheeses, as I said, are from batch youngest cheeses. So these will be from last July. So this is last July's product.
Oh wow.
So it's a very mild, sweet, nutty cheese.
It even looks nutty on the outside.
So the rinds are handmade, they're hand washed, hand turned. And we put a smearing on for every day for 10 days and then every second and third day after. So it is all about natural. It's very, it is labor intensive in the type of cheese we make. We don't put on any plastic coating. It's all hand washed. So then that's, let's say, the 6 month old all the way up to 18 months here. So you can see the difference.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So that's an 18 month old product.
Yeah.
So you can feel the all that there now. You can lift
all that there,
see what you think.
Wow, the weight. So how many liters of milk would be in one of these?
50 liters of milk, so 10 liters per kilo. So there's each wheel is on average about 5 kilos for 50 liters of milk, so 10 liters per kilo.
Wow.
So it takes a lot of milk from a cow to produce.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so each cow probably produces 7,500 liters. That's right, 7,500 liters per year. So that's the way we're looking at it a year. That's what we just got our results back. Yeah, so we know that. This here is the 20-month-old wheel that we were talking about.
Mm.
What we have here is just what I was cutting earlier today for a client. So it's a long... As I said, the rind is fully edible.
Yeah.
You can eat it, there's no problem. And then the inside is a very mild, sweet, nutty cheese. So
and it's light as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think so. I suppose each batch will be slightly different when they're small productions. You know, it depends on the weather, your climate, as we said. Your weather is very influential as well. So this one, we do try to serve at room temperature.
20-ish months?
Just 20 months, yeah. A very mild, creamy, nutty texture.
It's so creamy.
But it's more, but it's probably, it's an aged cheese now. This will have a lot more bounce of a flavour.
Yeah.
And then, you don't mind that one,
that's
lovely.
Fabulous.
Yeah, great for melting, good versatile product.
Yeah.
You can eat every part of it.
Mm.
It does change, Anthony, after 6 and 9 months, you'll notice that it does get a lot more body. Compared to a young...
overly salty or anything. It's it's quite creamy and mild.
Yeah, all we use is our own full fat milk.
Yeah.
We don't add anything else, just straight from the cows pumping across. Yeah.
And the brining is just
Salt water and preservative,
Amazing.
Yeah. Gorgeous. So it's really it comes through the milk,
yeah.
And the yellowness comes from the carotene of the cows eating the grass and that's all. There's nothing added.
That's ultimately because of the summer colour.
Yeah, the summer grass and that comes through the milk and the lactation.
Okay.
Through the carotene and the grass.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous.
And then this one is the parmesan. This one.
Oh, it's quite crumbly.
Oh, it is.
Wow.
So this has been. We made over 100 wheels of this in 2018.
Okay.
And I didn't know if the product would sell yet, but we thought we'd chance it and see. So I made over 100. And thankfully, they've gone really well. It's a drier cheese. Some restaurants like are using it excellently, and they're stopped buying parmesan intermittently, and they've replaced it with this.
Yeah. Not for the Italians, but you know,
not at all.
Good for the Irish one.
Yeah.
An Irish version for a local product.
Yeah.
I suppose it's just good for melting, and
you
can use it like a raclette as well.
Oh.
Well, particularly, it's done very well in Italian restaurants.
Yeah. Oh, that's a dream.
Then
quality control.
Yeah.
That must be the worst part of it, is the quality control.
Jesus, guys.
Oh, totally. Because you begin to wonder what I think is good and then other people might think.
I'm
learning as well. I love people's advice and, you know, because I'm still learning it out.
So how many attempts did you make? When you started.
Two.
Oh. Wow.
Two attempts.
And you went, that's it.
I did one in 16 and then I went to Switzerland and I came back from Switzerland and I made cheese for two attempts. And then I went to Switzerland and I watched and I said, I knew then, no, I didn't have a clue.
And I came back from Switzerland, and I had just thought the idea worked. I saw what they were doing in the Alps, and it kind of replicated what we could do here in Ireland. And there was very little people making mountain hard cheeses. And I felt it was important to do something different. So that was the idea, to try and make a product that wasn't readily available from an Irish perspective. And then the Swiss family were very kind to kind of give me the support, and the neighbours and local cheesemakers, and we got the place up and going. And it's been good for a good start, but we're still figuring out, like, it is a young cheese what we're having. At 6 months is a mild baby cheese, but you would still get a small, mild, sweet, nutty cheese.
It's also spicy, I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And out of all three I've had, I prefer the youngest one.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So funny, a lot of people recently, I would give them the 18-month versus the 6-month, and they would, I'd say, more than 50% were started going for the younger product.
Yeah.
So I think you're right.
Yeah.
Which is so positive.
If I'm a customer in a shop, how aged is it going to have on average in a shop?
From this year, the average age will be 6 to 7 months of what you're eating now. Yeah. And it's in the shops, going into the shops at this age.
Okay.
Teresa hosts weekly farmers markets at the farm on Fridays to Sundays, and also has expanded her offering to include butter and milk for lucky customers to buy. It's also featured in a very popular chocolate that has been making waves across Ireland in the form of Gras chocolates. You may or may not have already had some of Kyle Moore Cheese's milk in particular. You can also purchase the cheese itself at Sheridan's counters across the country, in Fallon and Burn in Dublin, as well as numerous other specialities food shops across Ireland. And if they don't have it yet, just strike up a conversation and ask them to order Teresa's cheese and put her on their radar. You can, of course, order it direct for delivery to your home in Ireland and the UK, as we actually do quite regularly because it's fantastic. And that is at kylemoorefarmhousecheese.com. All right, that is it for another edition of Chew the Fat for this week. Great news about Alta coming to Slane, down the road from us.
All roads are leading to the Boyne Valley, more specifically to Slane this summer. So we can't wait to welcome lots and lots and lots of people to the Boyne Valley.
And if you can't and you just want to enjoy a big block of cheese, of course, Teresa is there. Thank you, it's Teresa's case especially, for her time many months ago, for being so hospitable on that time. And we look forward to visiting again when conditions permit. If you have enjoyed listening to Chew the Fat, you can, of course, subscribe and rate it, review it, tell your friends, share it on Instagram, put a telegram up, I don't know. Just share the love, because we really love making it and giving off as much information and interesting stories from the world of Irish food. There's also Buy Me a Coffee as well, if you really enjoy it and you go, I'd love to buy those guys a flat white cortado or something like that. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/chewthefat and drop us something there. It's nice. Different to that, isn't it? But until next week, Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we will see you for another edition of Chew the Fat.